Well, Murray Brothers picking and we're grinning.
Picking in and grinning.
There you go. Welcome, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Green Country Gardener Show. And, of course, we've got the phone lines open at 1-800-749-5936. A little frost out on the pumpkin there, Larry.
You guys are going to have to get it straight with the weather.
Yeah, yeah, we're working.
It's April already. There were reindeer on my roof tonight, or last night. Jeez, what's going on? Hopefully this is the last zinger of the spring.
Oh, I'm hoping so, because I was marking the calendar. Yeah. April 15th is what I heard a very wise person say last Saturday about this time.
Well, April 15th is the average.
Okay.
There's a word difference between absolute and average.
Yeah, okay, average, got
so
it.
So this kind of breaks the average by a few days, but I guess considering last year, we're still average. So
I understand we haven't seen normal in a couple of years around here.
Who's normal?
Well,
I have a cat named Normal.
As far as weather goes, I've been here for an entire year, and everyone says, boy, the weather sure is messed up this year. And I'm thinking to myself, when am I ever going to witness a normal or seemingly normal this part of the country?
Well, looking at the forecast ahead, I believe this will be the last hurrah. So perhaps then we'll have some normal weather and we can get back to a normal spring activity as far as planting annuals and lawns, and et cetera, is concerned. People are tired of it.
Send Jack Frost packing.
Send him up north.
Hit the road, Jack.
All that. Yeah. Anyway, what's going on right now, what's on people's minds the most is their annuals and your perennial plants, so all those flowers everybody wants. Get a lot of people buying those flowers. Of course, we got ours undercover. We'll bring them out sometime this morning, probably around 9:30, 10 o'clock. We'll start unwrapping them and bringing them back outside.
Mm-hmm.
If you did plant them, hopefully you covered them last night.
Hopefully.
27 is a bit of a nip, if you will. And it's not good to have 27 degrees in the middle of April. Yeah. 32 right now, yeah. So that's a significant increase from what it was when I first started out coming to the radio station here. So it's heating up real quickly. Good thing is, perhaps, if you did have your crabgrass phonetic dyslexia. Have your crabgrass up. This will probably knock out a lot of it.
Thank you. I needed a redo.
So you have the ground floor opportunity right now to put on the crabgrass control and further control what crabgrass might be up.
And if you need those controls, see Larry.
We got them, yeah. But anyway, crabgrass is a bit of an issue, especially with your lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
So you might want to go ahead and apply that. It is going to rain tonight. There's a pretty good chance of rain. It looks like about 70% chance.
Yep.
Thunderstorms?
Could be.
Oh, boy.
Going to be about that time of year now that the frost is gone. Hello.
I wonder if I'll get hit by lightning again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Bam.
Didn't that get your grill?
Yes. Oh, went right through my barbecue grill.
Blast.
Didn't hurt it, but yeah. Surprised it didn't fuse it shut. But anyway. So it's time for those, what's going on at the nursery this week. We've got all kinds of new shrubs and plants in, the Obsession Nandinas, Encore Azaleas. Mm-hmm. We have some begonias right now. The elephant ear bulbs, they're going pretty fast. Mm-hmm. My elephant ear bulbs are up from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not anymore, but nonetheless. sun impatiens, we got a lot of those right now. The coleus, the Kong coleus, we got some of those in the greenhouse. They're the ones that like the shade.
Okay.
Big leaves on them. Really, really nice plants. We got plenty of herbs right now. And boxwood varieties and some citrus trees. We had somebody come in yesterday, bought a citrus tree.
Hope they covered it up.
Well, actually, they can take a bit of a cold.
They can?
The 27 shouldn't hurt them at all.
Okay, good.
But it's not a good practice if they're not used to it. You can set them back somewhat.
Ooh.
So you want to probably, if you have a something like that, you might want to shield it from the cold. Or you should have.
Should
late now.
Oh, orange, heck, it's brown.
So anyway, that's kind of it with the plants. It's just wide open season right now for mm-hmm. your plants. The crepe myrtles are out. Their leaves are out right now. So it's still got time to prune those because they're just now peeping out. And I noticed a lot of people's roses are coming out, and the buds are starting to form on the knockouts.
Ours are, yeah.
Yes, and Julia has blooms.
Oh, she has?
Yes, she does. Ooh. So I can't wait for Julia to make her presence this year, too. Uh-huh. Julia Child rose, that is.
Julia Child.
So, yeah. So anyway, have some of those. On your fruit trees, they should have, for the most part, they should have bloomed by now.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to begin a spray program.
Got it.
I like to use a spinosad as a topical application for insect control on there. Mm-hmm. It's very safe to use also. And you want to avoid systemics for a little while yet. Neem oil also works very good for insects and fungus. So I got to, if it doesn't rain too much tomorrow.
Is it supposed to rain tomorrow? Yeah, 60% chance. Yeah.
Oh, good night. So anyway, well, not a good day to spray. However, on the cherry trees, on the westernmost cherry tree, which is the early one,
yep.
We have cherries forming on it. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's nice.
Yeah, they're almost the size of a pea at this point. Yeah. So they're really coming along. So, hope this wouldn't hurt them, though. We've been through
worse.
They're
pretty durable.
On these plants. Yeah, once the flowers are done blooming, they should be okay. So if you do have a fruit on your fruit trees, chances are it's okay at this point. So that's kind of going on with that, too. Time to plant your warm season seeds, things like beans and whatnot in your garden. Mm-hmm. Also, tomato time.
Yes. Tomatoes.
We got a good selection of tomatoes right now. Anything from the little bitty sweet 100s, which I really like because they just...
I like them too.
They have lots of little... Most of them don't make it into the kitchen though.
You noticed that?
Yeah, the wife will say, well, I thought we had more tomatoes than that. Nope, that's all they had.
Nope. Disappeared.
The juice all on my shirt, you know.
Yeah, the telltale sign. Yeah. Somebody's been snacking.
I've gotten in trouble more than once for that.
Oh, I bet.
But anyway, it's time to get those in the ground too. Traditionally, though, I do like to plant it when the ground is fairly warm. You notice some of our tomatoes at the nursery, they look a little bit purple.
Purple? Why is that?
That is because when it's cool, like it has been,
mm-hmm.
and even yours in the garden might be a little bit purple, but when it warms up, it'll break from that. They're active transport in the roots, which is what goes on the cellular level to mm-hmm. take up nutrients. They can't take up potassium, or is it phosphorus? I think it's phosphorus, yes. Phosphorus, they can't take up phosphorus when it's really cold. And it causes a purplish tinge to the leaf a little bit and very slow growth. Mm-hmm. As soon as it warms up, that'll take over again, and it'll begin growing and do just fine. So don't worry about it if you've got purple tomato plants. Yeah. They're just cold like everybody else. anyway, that's the deal kind of with tomatoes right now.
Yep.
I do like to prepare that soil, make it really loose for the tomatoes, which I've done it twice to my garden. Mm-hmm. And I think I need to add some more compost because the soil is a bit heavy.
Mm.
So we'll do that if it doesn't rain too much tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Sure, you guys can change that so it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'll put in a good word for you, Larry.
Okay, very good. Thank
you.
So anyway, so that's kind of what's going on with your vegetables right now. Time to start the okra, too. But I kind of like to do the okra just a little bit later. It's kind of a warm season grass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So also, besides the annuals and shrubs and things, it's time to consider perennials. And probably one of my favorite perennial plant is a variety of hardy hibiscus that we carry. This particular one has red leaves on it and reddish leaves.
Reddish.
Yeah. They'll be red. They'll be kind of a burgundy. Deep green red color, really kind of attractive leaves, actually. And the flowers on it are about the size of that mouse pad.
Okay.
And
that would either be a pancake for you folks.
A coffee cup saucer, perhaps. and they, for those of you with color radio, there's
right there. You go. We'll hold it up in front of the
mic. It's about 6 inches in diameter, I guess. And then they bloom for a fairly long period of time, beginning, say, in middle May to early, depending on the weather, first part of June, they start to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
And they bloom basically all summer long until it freezes, which is an uncommon trait for most of your hardy hibiscus. However, some of these new varieties bloom for just about in perpetuity and throughout the summer. So I put one on my west side of my front yard a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and it was really big the first year. It was really, really big last mm-hmm. year. And this year, it's really popping out nicely. At least it was.
Was?
Well, it's close enough to the ground. I don't think it'll hurt it.
Okay, good.
So, but, and it should do very well this year. So, hardy hibiscus is a really good perennial to have. Mm-hmm. We've got all kinds of other perennials out there. The clematis vines, we also have some very good clematis vines. It's time of year for those to really start blooming. Funny thing about them is you think they're just kind of dead and all that, but they just all of a sudden, and they grow so fast.
That's what they're doing at our place. Yeah, whoa, hey, where'd you come from?
When they emerge, they grow very quickly.
Yeah.
So hopefully you did, they were pruned back this last winter.
Oh, they were.
To keep it from getting too heavy and bulky and ugly and little blooms. So if you trimmed it back, you did very good because it'll have some nice fresh foliage on it and be a nice big blooms on your clematis vine. Mm-hmm. So they're coming up pretty good now. Peony plants also. Of course, the figures, every time they bloom, and mine are just starting to bloom.
You know, I didn't check it.
It never failed.
I didn't check it when I left the house at 3 this morning. But yesterday, the thing looked like it was ready to pop.
The red one I have, which is on the far eastern side of the property, it's just now opening up. And and here comes the storms. It always happens. That's how you predict the weather. Forget the weather, man. When your peonies are open, we're going to have some rain. And
the early peony warning system.
There we go. Yeah, peony rain. So.
There you go.
Anyway, our peonies are very easy to grow shrubs. We have quite a few on hand, some pinks and reds and whites, and they come back very reliably every year.
They do.
So they do lack a whole lot of sunshine, and they almost kind of thrive on neglect, so I wouldn't pamper them too much. I don't pamper mine at all. I don't even water them. Yeah. And they come back looking really nice every spring and bloom real nice.
They are just that kind of durable, so that kind of hardy.
There's a lot of stuff going on right now. This is that time of year when things are kind of waking up. And so the maple trees, fortunately, are done with their thing. All the little seeds have fallen.
The little helicopters have
yes,
hit the ground.
Yes, I know. This last weekend, I cleaned up my yard of those for the most part with the lawnmower. Uh-huh. I put the bag on it and sucked them all up.
Problem solved.
Yeah, really. So they've done their thing, and they're starting to leaf out. And all these Japanese maples are making a really good show this year.
Good.
Good, solid burgundy red foliage on the Japanese maples. They're easy to spot right now in people's yards. We planted some out in Osage County on a project, and the customer really liked it because they never really noticed it in the spring. Everything was just kind of green, no interest. But these red trees in amongst the green
start popping.
Really pop out, and they make a great impression in the landscape, that red color in the spring. And it lasts for a long time, the red color does. It makes a really good impression in the landscape in the spring. The important thing is to give them room.
Give them room to roam.
Room to grow. I like to use them, say, in island beds out in the yard somewhere if they do have some shielding with some other trees. Mm-hmm. And close to the house, 10 feet from the house, perhaps.
Please.
Perhaps. You could get away with eight feet or so, but they should be pretty far away from the house.
You don't want to have any problems later on with growth.
Well, they tend to look overgrown. Now, you can keep them under control with proper judicious pruning.
But that's going to keep you busy.
Not really.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, if you prune them properly. In other words, you don't just shear them. You selectively remove branches rather than shear them off. They maintain that natural shape without getting too large.
Good.
So it's difficult to teach on the radio, but I've done this for a lot of people's Japanese maples in town to keep them under control.
Uh-huh.
And they look just as natural as ever.
So you're saying you've done it for more than a minute.
Yeah.
Larry, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener. And, of course, if you've got a question, 1-800-749-5936, that'll get you on the air. That is 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And, Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring is here and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses, and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company. Fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Make your home stand out from the rest with a new look that Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling can give you. They're contractors that offer bathroom and kitchen remodeling, trim carpentry, custom cabinetry, and hardwood refinishers. Voted best custom cabinetry of 2018 and offering veteran, firefighter, and law enforcement discounts. That's Groves Fine Woodworks and Remodeling. Call today for your free estimate, 918-214-6348.
And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Show. It is 8:25, and our phone lines are open. If you want to talk to Larry about what's going on in your garden, past this frosty, freezy little business we had last night, 1-800-749-5936. We were talking about things.
We were talking about Japanese maple. Yeah. Let's go in a little bit more depth about Japanese maple.
Let's do that.
You know, they get the standard Japanese maple, the Emperor and Bloodgood, get 20 by 20 feet in size.
Ooh, that's a good size.
Yeah, and I see so many of them planted 2 feet from the house.
We got a caller? Yeah, we do. Let's go ahead and take this. Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air. Question for Larry?
Yeah, I sure do. Is it possible to transplant redbud trees?
Yes. Is it a... Okay. How large a tree is it?
I can do it in any sizes. I prefer to do the small ones, you know, that are coming up maybe the trunk size of a quarter or 50 cent piece.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
Maybe 6-7 foot tall.
Whew.
I just want to line them up my driveway, and I know where I can get a whole bunch of them, and I just want to know if it's possible and how to do it.
Okay, this is the worst time of year to transplant redbud trees. The best time is the dead of winter, and actually, if you do have some picked out, if you're a long term thinker instead of short term, you might want to tag some that you really like out in the woods or wherever they are, and get that sharp shovel and go ahead and cut the ground around the tree. In other words, make vertical cuts, what we call root pruning, and if you prune those roots. That's what they do at the tree places when we buy bald burlap trees. Well, the roots are pruned every year. And they'll send out some roots close to the tree, so it'll transplant a lot better that way. The trees that are growing in the wild, their roots go way out. They're not really close in. So when you cut it, when you cut the roots on it, you cut off most of its ability to take up water and nutrients. So we have a very poor success rate when ones from the wild are cut without the roots being pruned. So, get some marking ribbon or something and mark some you like, and then depending on the diameter of the tree, you typically want to go about an inch, about a foot or so for every inch of diameter, but that'd be probably too big. But so just about a shovel's width out, really, on a small tree like that should be just fine. About a foot or so should be fine. 1 foot radius from the trunk.
Make a ring around it in the ground and just prune it in the ground.
Huh? Prune the roots, What that'll
prune
do
the roots
is it
now and then dig them up in the winter.
Exactly. What that'll do is it'll still have enough roots on the bottom part of it to sustain it.
Yeah.
And then it'll go ahead and send some other roots out. So root print it right now.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I'll do that. I appreciate you
guys. Thanks
for
calling.
Show all the time.
Thank you very much. And your call could be next if you have a question at 1-800-749-5936.
Okay, Japanese maples, 20 by 20 feet. They grow well in part shade, and they will be dwarfed in the sun, and they do tend to get a little bit of sunburn. It's what we call sun scald.
Sun scald.
Scald, S-C-A-L-D. Yeah. And the sun scald typically occurs in the wintertime, actually.
I'll be darned.
When it's really cold and the sun comes out, the temperature changes real quickly on the upper part of the stem because of the sun shining on it.
Sure.
And it tends to kill off some of the vascular tissue.
Ooh.
So if you do have a Japanese maple, look in the sun and you'll notice that the part that's above is lighter in color, almost corky looking, but the bottom looks normal.
Huh.
So that's what you call sun scald. And that's one reason why we don't like to plant them in the full sun. It causes a weakening of the vascular tissue and it invites stem diseases and so on.
Don't need that.
And it'll set them back a little bit. So that's kind of why we need to grow them here in part shade. They do need a little bit of sun, so you might want to consider that when doing that. If you do want a plant with some color on it in the sun, you might consider a purple smoke tree. Cotinus cogigria.
Easy for you to say.
Has purple leaves on it, and it's a tree form plant. Mm-hmm. There, and you get that purple color like the Japanese maple. There's some nine barks that have good color. And there's a purple leaf elderberry that has a very similar texture and shape as the Japanese maple. It has a few flowers on it in the summertime. And a little bit of elderberry wine doesn't hurt anybody. But no, you won't get enough to do anything with that. But
there's still purposes.
But anyway, so some purple leaves like that, there are alternatives to the Japanese maple. There's also some purple plums and sand cherries also that have that purple color to them, too. So if you do want some purple-colored shrubs or trees, tree-form plants in the sun, there are alternatives to the Japanese maple that will do something similar. However, in the shade, you just can't beat them.
Oh, yeah.
They're just really, really nice trees. So, and even if you put them on, let's say, the east side of the house or the north side of the house, a lot of times that's just not enough shade. They do need to have a microclimate of larger trees around. Typically, oaks associate very nicely with them. So it's very good to have Japanese maples. That incorporates also the weeping Japanese maple, the Acer palmatum dissectum, which has this weeping habit, and they're available in a green or the crimson queen, the purple color.
I see.
Really, really nice accent plants in the right area. So anyway, so Japanese maple is a good one to consider in the landscape. Fertilize in early spring with a Milorganite or a 16-8-8 fertilizer. You do want to fertilize these in the spring and the fall to maintain them real well. Don't overdo it, though. You don't want them to grow too crazy. Just enough to sustain them. There'll be instructions on the bag of a tree fertilizer, per se. That'll kind of tell you how much to put on there. But I just like to use Milorganite myself. Just kind of open up the bag and wag it around a little bit. And hey, you really can't overdo it with that.
See how it works.
So anyway, we've had very good luck with that. I like to plant Japanese maples in the spring after the danger of frost has passed.
Mm-hmm.
So Japanese maples have a tendency to leaf out very early, which unfortunately makes them susceptible to spring frosts. So we're probably going to have some tattering of the leaf this year in our Japanese maples because of that. So, also wind will cause leaf tatter on them, too. We have some on display out at the nursery, and I look at it, and oh, golly, till the wind's been blowing.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, they kind of, sort of like when a flag is in a very windy situation.
Yeah.
The ends of it tend to get a little ragged.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing with some of the Japanese maples. That's another reason why they really like to be put in a shielded situation with other trees around.
Yeah, not direct to
too sun, much sun and too much wind yeah. tatter. Yeah. yeah. So I like to prune the Japanese maples in late fall or winter while they're dormant, removing any dead or damaged branches beforehand and then afterwards for shape and all that. They adapt very well to pruning and are easily thinned and sculpted to accentuate their graceful shape.
There you go.
The Japanese maples can be easily transplanted. They have a fairly dense, close-in root system.
That'll make it easier, yeah.
Probably because they're not such a big tree.
Uh-huh.
So they can be transplanted very easily, but like I told the previous caller, vertical. The timing is very important.
Yeah.
Actually, in an emergency situation, quote, emergency, unquote.
Yeah.
We moved one in July 1 year.
How'd that work?
It made it.
It did.
It looked like it'd been run through the ringer for a bit, but
a little rough.
But the next spring, it came out really nice.
But dead of winter again.
Yeah, dead of winter is the best time to move those things. Good. So
we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener after this 2-minute timeout.
Will you find top quality, low-priced, new and used vehicles at Roman Chevy Buick in Independence, but they also boast a top-notch parts and service department. Roman's has a full staff for big and small jobs, along with the best prices on tires in the area. Need a quick lube oil change? No need to make an appointment, because they can get you in and out in no time, and prices start at just $29.95. Featuring certified GM technicians, count on the finest service around at Roman Chevy Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
Peter's True Value in Dewey has some excellent bargains in the month of April. To keep your flower beds looking their best, Peter's has Green Thumb Mulch. Buy 5 bags for $15. Illuminate your flower beds or walkway with 4-season courtyard solar lights. 6-pack solar LED path lights are $14.99, or 2-pack solar spotlights for $14.99. Your choice. If you're planning on camping out this summer, pick up a Kodak Super Bright Cobb LED Lantern for just $14.99. Shop Peter's True Value in Dewey this month and save.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. One of the most famous of all prayers is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught this prayer to his followers 2,000 years ago, and billions around the globe pray it today. This prayer is brilliant, both for its beauty and its simplicity. It's also an extremely relevant prayer to pray as the COVID-19 process continues to affect our city and state. I invite you to join me for a fifth time of interactive prayer, where we'll ask God to break into our city with his power and bring protection and healing. Please join us this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. here on K1 or on Facebook Live or kwntv.com. If you'd like, you can download the new prayer outline by clicking the Pray for Our City button at bartlesvilleradio.com.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
All right, we're back at 836, and our phone number is ready to roll here. We got a line waiting for you at 1-800-749-5936, the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. Larry, where were we here?
Did you know Clematis is a member of the Ranunculaceae family, or buttercup family?
No, I did not.
They're related to buttercups. Wasn't there a song about buttercup?
Buttercup, yeah. Build me up, buttercup.
The word is from the Greek word meaning vine. Mm-hmm. And really, there are about 250 different species of clematis.
Mm-hmm.
It's very varied species, too. There's a lot of, there's a spring blooming, a summer blooming, and a fall blooming clematis. The fall blooming clematis are the ones that have their white, fragrant blooms.
Okay.
That come up and get in the trees here in town.
Oh, I've seen those, yeah.
Especially on Hillcrest Road Drive over there by the river, between the river mm-hmm. and downtown. There's a lot of them up over there. And you see them kind of along No Water Road, close to Highway 75. There's a bunch of them in the trees in that area, too.
Hmm.
And the wild clematis, as we call it, or fall-blooming clematis, is kind of a naturalized plant. They're not really natural to an area where nothing grows but hackberries and just some grass. But they've made their way over here, and they grow real fast and so on. But anyway, the clematis that we have in our yard that we put on trellises and whatnot, which are in bloom for the sun part right now, are related to those too. It's a very hardy plant. It has very few problems. It comes up and blooms real nicely, and it's got a fairly nice-looking leaf to it.
Uh-huh.
But most of them, most of the ones we do bloom in the spring only. There are summer or perpetually blooming clematises, clematai, if you will.
Clematai.
Of course. And but the flowers aren't as big and spectacular as the spring blooming ones. So a little trade-off there, if you will. So they're very easy to grow. They don't like hot feet, though.
They don't?
No. Like me, I can't stand hot feet. So, anyway.
Not a hot foot kind of guy?
No. Neither are the clematis vines. They don't like hot feet. So you prevent that from happening by using a lot of mulch around them or maybe planting some shrubs around them. I like to plant, say, low-growing nandinas or maybe small boxwoods or dwarf yaupon holly, something around there to shield it from the sun, especially if the clematis is facing west. It will grow in a situation where it faces west if the root system is shielded from the hot sun.
Keep those feet cool.
A lot of people plant marigolds and things around them, too. Mm-hmm. The shade from those flowers is enough to keep it cool enough to where it'll survive okay. If they do get hot feet, they just don't make it.
Don't create problems where problems don't need to be created.
You can shield the sun with a low fence or something. But typically, we just plant some nandinas or boxwoods around them, and they get along real well. And the nandinas actually kind of help keep the bugs away. But anyway, so they do pretty well. And this the large flowered hybrids may have blooms ranging from 4 to 10 inches in diameter. Big. Some of these plants, flowers get pretty big. Not here, though. We have too many limitations on our soil and whatnot, climate. And they bloom up to 100 blooms per plant in a season. So they will put on a lot of flowers. Anyway, clematis is available in several different colors, several different flower configurations. So we have a double blooming one, which is kind of nice, several double bloomers, and some that have different colors on them, white and a red mixed in some one. So I'm visioning these and trying to describe them in my photographic memory, trying to describe them. But anyway, soil preparation is very important on clematis, too. They don't like heavy soil, and they don't like poor drainage. They do like lightweight soil, one that's had a lot of compost added to it, and they do like an area where water drains away from them rather than where water sits. So consider that also in planting one. They will grow on the west side of the house if they have some shielding. The roots have some shielding from the hot sun. Mm-hmm.
Take care of it, man.
Clematis, they look a little bit ugly in the wintertime. And they're not an overly attractive plant. Sometimes people plant morning glories with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have some flowers in the same area. So they bloom around. Cardinal shrub is another one that will associate nicely with it. Cardinal shrub has interesting ferny type leaf to it and a whole lot of small little red flowers. It's kind of an attractive plant, too. So you can even put mandevillas in there with them, too. And you'll have some color in that particular area. So think of that also. Try to extend the bloom show in that particular area mm-hmm. by maybe planting some other plants that will live with it, cooperate with it, and give you some color also. So easy to grow plant. They're pretty ugly looking for the summer. But anyway, the flowers can't be beat, so yeah. They're a really good plant to have too. So anyway, trees. when planting trees, you want to make sure you properly prepare the soil. I was at a house this last week. Somebody planted a tree, and they just died.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Well, they didn't work the dirt, I'm going to guess.
Oh, they worked the dirt. Looked pretty nice.
What did happen then? They
planted it too deeply in the ground.
Oh, that'll cause problems.
It smothered the root system.
Ooh.
You notice when we plant trees in your yard, they're at or maybe even slightly above the surrounding soil level. Certain they're not tomatoes.
No, they're trees.
You can plant tomatoes. It's a good thing to do with tomatoes. You want to get the stretchy ones when you go to a place. Uh-huh. The ones that are on sale, those are the ones you want. And you bury that stem in the ground, and it roots. It roots in. And so you have a heavier root system. You get bigger tomatoes. That's not quite the true thing with trees. They have to be planted flush or slightly above, depending on the soil.
Uh-huh.
Never deeper than the ground level. We have a caller?
Yes, we do. Let's go on to our caller here. Good morning. Your question or comment for Larry?
All right. Thank you. We're thinking about planting ginkgo trees and want to know when, where, how to care for them, how far apart, anything about them.
Okay. Ginkgo biloba. It's a tree that's been around unchanged genetically since the Cretaceous. Hmm. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. It does like a good drainage. In other words, don't plant it in an area where it's really low. And don't worry about insects. Don't worry about diseases because it doesn't get any.
Strong.
So it's a fairly slow-growing plant, but in the long run, you'll be rewarded with a tree that is just absolutely no care. The trees that are available retail are male trees. The ginkgo tree is dioecious, so you want to make sure you get it from a reputable dealer that only carries male clones, mm-hmm. which we do. But we do have some ginkgos, by the way.
Okay. How tall do they get eventually?
When I was back at University of Georgia, there were some that were planted there in 1785, and they were well over 100. They were well over 100 feet tall. Yeah, I don't know if anybody will be around that long to see them get big, but they get as big as any maple tree or a gum tree. Mm-hmm. There are some good examples of ginkgo trees in town here too.
And where are those located?
There's one on Sooner Park Drive, kind of across and down from the high school a little bit. It's on the north side of the road. It's in a brick planter in the front of a house. And I've been watching that tree for the last 40 years. And it's a really nice looking tree. And it's growing in an area where it's kind of rocky, so it's not as big as most ginkgo trees will get. But it's done very well all these years, and it's getting even bigger. And my neighbor behind me has one, too. And since we've moved in, it's turned into a pretty good-sized tree, actually. So ginkgos are probably on the top 10 list. They are probably number 11 for quality of tree and growth and all that. But they're kind of slow.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. I had a ginkgo tree once, but I had the female version.
You would.
Wow.
You got a deal on it, huh?
It was there with the house, you know. There was a lot of raking, and there was a lot of bagging, and there was a lot of hay.
A lot of flies, yeah.
Yeah, kind of burn these gloves. Anyway. I think we have another caller right here. Let's go ahead and take it. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
This is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
Well, I couldn't join you today because I had a pallet of mulch delivered out here yesterday.
How's your back?
Oh, if I didn't have this bed I've got, it'd be fine. But anyway, we've got mulch, and I put some drift roses in, different things like that that I got yesterday out of the nursery, and they delivered all that mulch out here, and now we're putting it out.
You like that mulch in the bag we got?
It's, you know, they asked, well, don't you want bulk? And I said, well, I know the bulk is fine, but you got to move that stuff around.
Yeah.
And the ground's kind of soft, and my tractors sink in. I don't know. So we just decided we'll get the bags.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty full bags.
They are, yeah.
And I have bought them at the other places before just to put some down, you know, a few bags here and there.
Uh-huh.
And they're pretty wimpy.
These are good, heavy, full bags.
They're full. And I got to tell you, they are. That cedar mulch. And, of course, I can't wait till midsummer because that's when all those eastern red cedars start sprouting out.
Oh, it won't come up in that.
Very easy to pull out.
I do like the texture of that mulch we got in.
Yeah.
It's very fine and very uniform.
Yeah.
So it's got a good look to it.
Spreading mulch today because it's going to start warming up, and the weeds are going to really enjoy the next few weeks.
Yeah, and actually that holds itself very well in the rain, too. It doesn't tend to wash out.
Okay.
Which is not a problem. You're down at the bottom of the hill there. So.
Well, I have some issues where they wash out, Larry. But
oh, really?
Anyway. But that's okay. I just wanted to know that I don't know how many bags in a pallet, but they brought it out here.
They're 55, I believe.
I believe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got some and may have to have you bring more. Who knows?
Well, we got more, so.
Do you?
You bet.
And the drift roses, I got those coral drift roses.
Oh, yeah, those are real popular, yeah.
And out there in that center island that you came and looked at, and so we we've got those in there now and do a few more things. And so,
you know, it's getting to be May right quick, so you might consider some imidacloprid for those bagworms you have on your...
I've already done that.
Okay. Golly.
I did that, and I think Gary told me once the day to spray it with... What do you spray with?
Thuricide, BT, Bacillus thuringiensis.
But he said like June 14th or 13th, somewhere right there. If you get them on that day, if there's any there, they'll get them.
Yeah, well, you really want to look at your trees closely on occasion. Because you know firsthand that, man, they can just go in and just eat them up real quick.
Oh, gosh, like in a few hours, they eat it up.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody this last week, and they had one do that. It was just gone overnight.
Are you talking about the bagworms?
Yeah, the bagworm date up there.
Well, the bagworms, it's a little cool on them this morning.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. Now, if you could come up with a cold day here in the 1st of June, then we shouldn't have much of a problem with them.
But I forgot the day Gary told me. He said, you'll spray on that day, you'll kill those things.
Yeah.
But I did put the other stuff down about a month ago.
Good. Well, actually, that has a very long-term lifespan on it. So, in other words, you're being proactive with it. It does take it a while to get into the plant also. So you want to be ahead of the game if you're going to use a systemic like that.
Yeah, but those, my emerald, what do you call those emerald, what?
Arborvitae.
They're starting to look pretty good now.
Yeah, they're starting to leaf out.
I mean, they're getting big now. They're
oh, yeah.
They're tall.
Yeah. Look kind of like Italian cypress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I see them every time I drive by. I check on your stuff. You see this old truck going real slow down the road. That's me checking on the plants.
All my trees have leafed out just about, except my walnut trees hadn't tried to come out yet. But they're thinking about it.
They can be a little slow sometimes.
I know, but they're thinking about it. Everything else is leafing out. We'll have a forest out there one of these days.
Well, you're working very good at that right now.
People are worried about global warming and all that, Larry.
Yeah.
All you got to do is plant more trees, and it'll take care of it.
Yeah, if I take all the trees I've planted in my lifetime, I should have a negative carbon impact.
Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
So I should get a big tax refund, yeah.
Those people that are worried about their carbon footprint, I want to leave a big one, but I just keep planting more trees, and I'm going to take care of it.
You bet. That's the way to do it, guy.
It'll take care of it. So okay. Anyway, Larry, have a good day.
All right,
and I
Kevin.
Know the nursery was looking good out there yesterday when I was there.
Yeah, I know. Everything, we'll have it uncovered here pretty soon. So
I know, but it looked like you had lots of stuff out there. And so
we are raring to go.
Anyway, I know people have had a lot of time on their hands, and so they've been working in the yards. And we ought to have the best-looking yards anywhere as many people have been working in.
You've had enough time.
We've had a lot of people in the nursery, and actually they're people are being very good about keeping their distance.
I came in when I was in there yesterday. I was the only one at the start, but then a lady came in. She had her mask on.
Yeah. Well, she probably didn't want you to know who she was.
I don't know who it was, but I didn't have my mask or anything on. I was fine.
All right, Kevin. All right.
Well, we're gonna let All you right. go here. It
May
is.
1st. It sounds like May 1st is the day, Larry. So people are gonna be out moving. They got a week to get this done.
You bet.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. We're gonna take a quick 2-minute break right here, and we'll have more after this 2-minute timeout.
Spring is here and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON, Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
These are challenging times for our community, state, and region, and we recognize that at Patriot Auto Group here in Bartlesville. Hello, Tad and Manning from Patriot Auto Group, headquartered right here in Bartlesville. We have dealerships across the state, but choose to make Bartlesville my family's home. We've grown to over 100 employees right here in Bartlesville to serve not only our community's automotive needs, but the entire state's. I recognize that many of you are not in the market for a new car, truck, or SUV. But should you be in a situation where your lease is up, your family situation has changed, or whatever, please give Patriot Chevrolet or Patriot Buick GMC Hyundai the opportunity to earn your business. With 0% financing available for up to 84 months, the deals have never been greater. We live and work right here in Bartlesville, supporting our local community. We attend church and support local nonprofits. We're doing everything possible to keep our employees and customers safe by sanitizing constantly and offering delivery to your home for service and sales. The future is bright, Bartlesville. Let's stick in this together. Give our family an opportunity to serve you at Patriot Auto Group in Bartlesville.
Patriot GMC Hyundai, it just feels right.
Well, welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. We want to remind stations along the network lines we have one more commercial break there for you. But we're right back with Larry here. And Larry, what's going on at the shop?
Golly, we got all kinds of annuals and perennials right now. Mm-hmm. So showing lots of color. We got all kinds of stuff for butterflies, et cetera, et cetera. So come by nursery and check it out.
All right, let's see. I think we might have a call here. Okay. Let's see, 1-800-749-5936 is our number, and I guess we're going to put that on hold here for just a second.
Got herbs too.
Yeah, got herbs.
We hired a very good herb grower this year. Mm-hmm. She's doing a stellar job. We got some beautiful plants.
Great. Let's go to the phones here. Hi. Good morning. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning. Got three questions. What about crepe myrtles? As they've started leafing out, I didn't get a chance to prune them. I wanted to prune them all to a kind of a fixed height. Is it too late to prune them now?
Oh, not at all. There's some variable emergence on crepe myrtles, so you're fine on pruning them right now. No sweat.
What did you call it? Variable emergence?
Yeah, some parts of town they're not coming out, and some parts are out. So that's time of year when some of them are out, and some of them aren't. It's still a great time to prune them. You got till the 1st of May to do it. Well, middle of May, maybe, to do that.
Okay. Your next question, please.
Well, might have already started coming out. I've got two different plants. They're both real old plants, probably 40, 50 years old.
Wow.
But at any rate, remember when we had that really bad freeze, I don't know, about 15 years ago when we got down to like 18 below or something like that?
I think that was about 80 below zero, yeah.
yeah, it killed everything above ground on those crepe myrtles. So I had to cut all the dead wood off, and it's come back pretty well. You know, I tried to limit it to just six stalks or something like that.
But caller, I hate to do this because we're having a time crunch. I'm going to put you on hold, and maybe we can get you with Larry here in just a second, one-on-one. But we have to take one more timeout along our network lines, and I appreciate it. And we'll be back after this three-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife Jane in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willow Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willow Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willow Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The magic of Willow Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
And we're back quickly.
Tom, keep your shovel sharp. See you next week. Good show.
All right.